As the US sees red over China's green products, an energy boss in Europe tells me he's worried about them too. Good morning, I'm Leanna Byrne and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, and we're live from the BBC World Service. And the US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has just finished a four-day visit in China, so let's do a recap. While she was there, she warned that the US won't allow a big influx of cheap Chinese goods into the country. Yellen also didn't rule out that the US could bring in tariffs on these products. Now, this issue isn't just on the radar in the US. In Europe, business leaders are also expressing similar worries about China's green energy industry. And I've been speaking to Paul Sprunk, and he's the UK and Ireland's Managing Director of German-based green energy company SolarWatt Technologies.
We do share the same concerns, although we've been preparing for this, as we have been acquiring additional production capacity in Asia already because our demand is also exploding.
Why is it a concern for the market? Does it mean that you have to bring your prices down too?
Well, in general, yes. You have to stay in line with market pricing. But as SolarWatt has been diversifying its portfolio in the last number of years, strategically, we are less dependent on just the solar panel price only.
But on the flip side, would that be better for the consumer if solar panels are cheaper?
That depends. A consumer, of course, always likes to have a cheaper product. But I think for the supply chain in general, when products are sold under the cost price, panels are dumped, then that means that the quality of the products will go down. Also, the reliability of warranties will be next to zero. If a company doesn't make any money, it will go bankrupt.
As you mentioned, a lot of European solar panel companies have had to close down lately. Do you think that that is directly as a result of Chinese competition?
Yes. Yes, that at least plays a very important role there. We've even seen large Chinese manufacturers complaining that the prices offered by other Chinese companies are way too low for them to stay alive. Also, they have been announcing major job cuts because of it. It is an issue.
Paul Sprunk, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you very much.
Now let's do the numbers. European shares opened lower this morning. Europe's region-wide Stoxx 600 is down 0.2%, and it's because investors are cautious ahead of crucial US inflation data and a European Central Bank decision on interest rates on Thursday. Now, do you remember the Panama Papers? That was that huge leak of documents that revealed how some wealthy people and public figures were using offshore accounts in tax havens to hide their wealth and evade taxes. Well, now 27 people have gone on trial in Panama City in connection with the scandal. Here's the BBC's Ione Wells.
The leak implicated more than 100 politicians, including heads of state and government, billionaires and sports stars. The leak showed how clients of the now defunct Panamanian law firm called Mossack Fonseca were able to launder money, dodge sanctions and avoid tax. If the founders of the firm are found guilty, they could face up to 12 years in prison. The law firm has since closed down, but its founders have claimed neither they, the firm or its employees were involved in unlawful acts.
Ione Wells there. Now, I don't know if you know this, but elections are taking place all across the world this year. And to reach voters, politicians, they use social media platforms like Facebook and X. But recently, some leaders have started using TikTok. What is this app, which is traditionally known for viral dance videos, the right platform for them? Or is it a risky move? Here's the BBC's Alfie Habershon.
Not the kind of music you might associate with the sober leadership style of German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. But it's him all right. His first video shows a pair of white trainers strolling across a carpet floor, before the camera slowly pans up to the man himself, staring back mischievously from his desk. And he's not the only one taking the TikTok plunge. As European elections approach in June, politicians are hoping to grab the attention of scrolling 16-year-olds, who in Germany, Belgium, Austria and Malta are all allowed to vote. Meanwhile, Mr. Scholz's competition, the far-right Alternative for Germany party, are ahead of the game, with 500,000 followers. But it's never too late to get involved. Just ask 81-year-old US President Joe Biden. He joined in February, during the Super Bowl.
Chiefs or Niners?
Two great quarterbacks, hard to decide. But if I didn't say I was for the Eagles, then I'd be sleeping alone. My wife's a Philly girl.
Jason Kelce or Travis Kelce?
Mama Kelce. I understand she makes great chocolate chip cookies.
Trump or Biden?
Are you kidding? Biden.
Most leaders use the app to deliver short and snappy policy messages. But for others, it's a chance to strip off the suit and just look a bit more natural. At home, reclined on the sofa, or if you're the French president, Emmanuel Macron, fresh from a round of sparring in the boxing gym. But is there a bit more at stake here than public embarrassment? Because German security agencies advise against Mr. Scholz's new hobby. They say that TikTok is probably sharing its user data with the Chinese government. And for the same reason, UK politicians are already banned from using the app altogether. Mr. Biden says he will sign a bill to ban TikTok in America if it passes through the Senate, but he seems a bit torn by getting the most out of it in the meantime, with a looming election runoff against Donald Trump later this year, who is hardly shy on social media himself. For the German Chancellor Scholz, it remains to be seen whether his attempt to get the youth on side will be worth the risks. But it may be a relief to know, whatever his next video, he says he will not be dancing.
Alfie Habershon there, and TikTok's owner ByteDance has denied allegations that it hands users' data to the Chinese government. And finally, Mattel has launched the first major redesign of Scrabble in 75 years. The classic board will now be sold with a simpler version printed on the back. Oh, I'm so bad at that game. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.